In the 1994 film Shawshank Redemption, there's a scene that takes place in a prison. This is based on a Stephen King movie that was adapted for, or story adapted for film, and takes place in a prison in Maine, in my home state, but I've never been inside that prison. In any case, there's a friendship between the two characters played by Tim Robbins and Morgan Freeman, and the Tim Robbins character, in this very bleak and gray existence, humdrum, day after day, finds a way to smuggle in an Italian opera, and he takes control of the public address system, and holds all of the guards at bay, and then puts this opera on the public address system while they're knocking on the door and trying to get in, and everybody stops and listens to this beautiful music. And one of the characters says, "I have no idea what those two Italian ladies were singing about, but something so beautiful it can't be expressed in words, but it makes your heart ache." That captures the mood of this gospel. It is so beautiful that it's hard to express in words all that's going on. You have these two desperate people. Imagine being a father of a 12-year-old girl who is dying, and he's also a synagogue official, so he's on the opposite side of Jesus. Many of his friends, and he's in a very high position, are trying to trap this itinerant preacher, Jesus, who's causing all kinds of trouble with the people, and they're trying to find a way to get him, to quiet him and silence him. So he has to certainly step out of the ranks in order to do this. And it says this high official comes in his desperation, finds Jesus, and he prostrates himself in front of Jesus, and he pleads with him, saying, "Please, come and lay your hands on my little girl who is dying." He's one character. And then there is this woman, this desperate woman, who for 12 years has had a flow of blood, which means in that time, anybody who had because blood is the life force for people, if you're losing your blood, you're losing your life force, and you don't want to be anywhere near someone who is in that condition. So they are rendered unclean, and anything they touch, if she were to sit on a chair or on a sofa or the mattress that she slept on, or if she touched you, you were unclean, and all those items were unclean. So for 12 years, she really has been isolated from normal social activity and from the community. And we don't even know her name. We know Jairus, the synagogue official. He's an important person. But she has lost all of her money going to doctors, and it's only gotten worse for her. And she is desperate when she says, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment." And I'd like to stop there for a moment and remember that she had heard of Jesus. And the gospel doesn't tell us who told her about Jesus, but someone out there told her, was preaching the good news this early on about Jesus, and that's her only hope. So just parenthetically, or by the way, that reminds me of St. Paul saying, "I cannot, when I proclaim the gospel, boast about that. It is just what I have to do." And he says, "Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." And I think this woman, she's going to encounter Jesus for the first time, and it will change her life forever. And here we are sitting 2,000 years later, listening to what has happened because some unknown person told her about Jesus, and she comes to him in her desperation. So that for us who are baptized and have this great commission, this great this great opportunity, this great responsibility. God forbid that we would ever miss an opportunity to proclaim the good news of the gospel. Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. And I'd like to return to this woman who heard from an unnamed person about Jesus. She represents in one way, because she's older, she represents the Jewish people and their renewal that is brought about through Jesus. And then that after 12 years, after this long period, the 12 number is really important because it does represent the 12 tribes of Israel. And the little girl who's only 12 years old, she's much younger, she represents all of us who are waiting for this good Lord to come and renew us and recreate us, because originally, as the first reading reminds us, God made us to be imperishable, but through the fall, we have become perishable. We have come to know death. And through our Lord Jesus Christ, we are given life again. So what happens when he goes into the room with that little girl? And as far as we know in the Gospels, these are the only exact words, just the way he would have said them in Aramaic, that are given to us. Jesus says, what does he say? Talitha kum. You know, you can all speak Arabic, because those are powerful words. And he says, little girl, I say to you, arise. And that word arise is for resurrection. Rise up, come to life. And this is wonderful. She gets up and starts walking around normally. And it's a reminder to us that all of us who are created by this good God, we're created for eternal life. We're created to be imperishable. And then Jesus says something that's quite unexpected, very ordinary. He says what? Give her something to eat, like a good Mexican parent, I would say. Or any Italian, any nationality. Give her something to eat, Jewish. Oh, I forgot, he's Jewish. Yeah, maybe he's Mexican, part Mexican. Thanks, Coco. But anyway, he is there and he says, give her something to eat. So it seems like a throwaway line, but you know what it is? It is a reminder to us that he comes to recreate us, to renew the imperishable life that God has created us with in the very beginning. And then he reminds us that when we come together, he is going to give us something to eat. That's exactly what we're doing here. He invites us to come here and to let his hand touch us, let his voice heal our hearts that are often broken, and then feed us. I'd like to end with this quote from this wonderful, wonderful writer. Her name is Heather King. She's written a book called Redeemed. And Heather is someone that I know, I've gotten to know personally. It's an honor to know her. She's a woman who went to Harvard University. And while she was at Harvard, she was working as a waitress to support herself. And she got involved in drugs and alcoholism and sexual promiscuity and everything else that you can think of under the sun. She was an atheist, and she during those years and after that went on a very long journey into darkness and hit bottom not once but several times. If you read that book, Redeemed, it's a powerful statement. This is a quote from her. She says, the Christian religion is only for one who needs infinite help. That is, only for one who feels infinite anguish. The whole earth can suffer no greater torment than a single soul suffers. The Christian faith, as I see it, is one's refuge in this ultimate torment. The Christian faith is one's refuge in this ultimate torment. Anyone to whom it is given to open his heart in this anguish, instead of contracting it, instead of turning in upon oneself, accepts this means of salvation in his heart, enlarging his heart and looking beyond it because of God's great love. She says, "I don't know about you." She's quoting a philosopher, Wittgenstein. She says, "I don't know about you, but this is the kind of quote that makes me feel right at home." So the quote is, "Anyone to whom it is given to open his or her heart in this anguish, instead of contracting it to open it, accepts the means of salvation in his heart." She says, "I don't know about you, but this is the kind of quote that makes me feel right at home. This gives me hope. Anguish, torment, this Wittgenstein is a man who understands." So do Maria Callas, great opera singer, or the Renaissance painter Matthias Grunewald paints an image of the crucified Christ that is, when you first look at it, you say, "Oh, that's horrible." But there's a beauty in seeing the suffering that this good God endured for us and to reach out and touch us as Jesus does the little girl and the woman suffering from the flow of blood. And she says finally, so do they understand, the people decorating Mexican churches. She says, "I love a good statue of Jesus with a hole ripped in his chest and his sacred heart hemorrhaging blood. Nobody knew better than Christ that people to whom everyday things like holding a job or interacting with another human being are never-ending sources of torture and anxiety are exactly the ones most in need of healing. A guy who hung out with lepers, paralytics, the possessed, this is someone I can trust. We don't have to go up to him. He comes down to us. We want a doctor, a hospital, drugs. He gives us himself. We want to stop the suffering. He says, I'll suffer with you." That's Heather King. Her book is Redeemed. She's written a number of books, and I'd highly recommend it. She's a woman of great faith, and she sometimes worships here with us, and you wouldn't even know it, that she's this famous person. But in any case, go back to the beginning. I have no idea what those two Italian ladies were singing about, but something so beautiful, it can't be expressed in words, but it makes your heart ache. What this God does for us is so beautiful that it makes our hearts ache, and out of love and for more, to be fed and nourished at the hands of this good God.